Thank you each one for coming here this evening. Now, I know that I am not David Hurlihigh. David has been sick for the last couple of days, and so we gave him the option that if he would sooner sit tonight out, we would take his place. So here we are. Thank you very much for coming. Maybe if you knew I was going to speak, you wouldn't have come. Some things are better left unknown, I suppose. So thank you. We do appreciate your coming. These meetings have been going on. I think this is the start of week 7. We had considered closing on Thursday evening, but we felt there were those that are showing an interest. And so we figured we decided we would go this week as well. And so there'll be no meeting tomorrow night. It is youth group tomorrow evening. But Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we plan to have a meeting here. Now, I don't plan to speak. David should be back. And Brody, those meetings will be at 7:30. If you have any questions of what you hear, please do not be scared to ask. Everything that we are preaching is found in the Bible. If it is not found in the Bible, we shouldn't be speaking it. The Bible, one of my preacher friends, this is the only reliable source of spiritual information. I refer to lots of other books for other subjects, but when and heaven and hell, this is the only book that can be trusted. If you do not have a Bible, there are Bibles there at the back. They are free for you, so help yourself. Some have helped themselves before, and we appreciate that. That is what they are there for. Before we open the Word of God, we are going to speak to Him in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been singing that there is salvation and that it is free. There are very few things in this world that are truly free. But the forgiveness of sins is one that is free, but it is at a tremendous cost. It cost the Lord Jesus. He laid down His life. It cost heaven's best. And so tonight, as the gospel will be preached, we pray that help would be given. For the listener who does not yet know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we pray that tonight they would listen to the message of the gospel and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died to save. So we'd ask for help here and in every place that the gospel would be preached. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to read in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. We're going to read in three places. The last verse of the chapter, John 3 and verse 36. And it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. But whoever does not believe on the Son will not see life, will not see heaven. God abide on him. Over a couple of chapters, a few chapters to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to pick up at verse 21. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He is speaking to religious people, really. And he is having a conversation with them. The Lord Jesus did not sugarcoat his words. When the Lord Jesus spoke, he spoke what was on his mind, and he made it very clear. And listen to the words as he speaks to these people. These words were true 2,000 years ago. And they are just as true tonight. And here's what he says. Then, verse 21, John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. And then they start to talk among themselves. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, ye can't come. And Jesus said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, in your sins, because ye believe not that I am he, you are going to die in your sins. Reading is in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Again, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And again, the Lord Jesus is making a point, and he does not want to be misunderstood. The Lord Jesus says, and if your hand offends you, if it is in your way, cut it off. Now listen to these words. It is better to enter into life maimed without a hand than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Then in 45 he says, and if your foot is holding you back, it's better to go into life missing a foot than to enter heaven without a foot, than to be cast into hell. Verse 47, if your eye offends you, if it is in the way, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. God will bless the reading of his word. Really, what I'm thinking of tonight is a subject that I would rather not speak about. And it's been weighing on my heart all afternoon and likely a bit of last night. Tonight, we present to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you do with the gospel, what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to determine whether you are in heaven or whether you are in hell. The Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he spoke more of hell and of the lake of fire than he did of heaven. The Bible makes it very clear that for you and I, it is either heaven or hell. And so for the first part of the meeting, that is what I don't want to speak on it. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart. The reality of hell. A number of years ago, we were driving home from meeting on Sunday morning. We were going through Inverness, And I remember seeing a police car in a driveway. And it was a woman cop, and that sort of caught me off guard. But what else was going on? Because as I looked, she had a concerned look. And she was on her phone or on her radio. And as we were driving by, I saw somebody in the back seat. And their feet kicking at the window. And as we drove by, the side window of that car came flying out. What struck me is, I was thinking, there is somebody who is realizing too late that they are going somewhere they don't want to go. Tonight, we are begging you to stop and consider serious and eternal things. Tonight, in your future, it is either heaven or it is hell. We live in a world where hell is really used as a word to emphasize a point, or it is used as a curse word. Many people would think, well, there's no such place as hell anyway, really, is there? Well, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, according to the Lord Jesus himself, as he was addressing people who knew the Bible, and he looked them right in the eye and he said, if you die in your sins, where I am going, you can't come. And that message is just as relevant today. When the Lord Jesus looked at those people as they stood there and listened to him, he knew they weren't going to like it. And when he told them that unless their sins were forgiven, if they died in their sins, where he was, there was no way that they could go. They didn't like it. These were religious people. And they did not want to face their sin. Maybe you say, well, I can't help the fact that I was a sinner. You know what? I can't either. I can't help the fact that I was born a sinner. That comes because our foreparents, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And they put all of humankind on a path downward to eternal punishment and destruction. And the Lord Jesus refers to it, hell. And the Lord Jesus refers to eternal fire. And the Lord Jesus says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. Another time the Lord Jesus is speaking. What we have read in Mark chapter 9. And again, as he is speaking to these people, he is trying to make them to understand their need. And he tells them, he says, when it comes to you in hell, if there is something that is standing in your way, he said, nothing is worth going to hell for. Lord Jesus, I was looking at it today, he says that it's fire that never will be quenched. And he says that it is eternal. You know, if hell was just for a week or so, I don't know if Brody might, but I don't know if I would bother. It's only a week. If it was 100 years, maybe would try and put a little bit of effort into it. If it was a person dying and landing in fire and being burned up, then maybe it really wouldn't matter. But Mark chapter 9, the Lord Jesus, he says, not only is hell real, not only is it eternal, but he said it's a place of torment. It's a place of consciousness. These aren't nice words to speak about. I do not like speaking about them at all. The Lord Jesus, in his message to people on earth, is that people would understand, because of our sin, we are doomed. We are heading for eternal destruction. We can read, I think it is in Matthew 7. Yes, it's Matthew 7. It's on the chart. Matthew 7 and 13, the Lord Jesus, he is speaking. He says, enter in at the straight gate. Because wide is the gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction. And many, many there be that go in thereat. But then he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life. And then he says, few there be that find it. Little wonder the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking, made sure that his words were clear. Hell, it is real. Hell, if you are in your sins, if you die that way, hell is certain. And eternal punishment is forever. That's what makes it so serious. I was struggling with this for a while this afternoon. How do we present a message like this? Well, in the last couple of minutes, I want you to think of John chapter 3. Verse 36, it ends off with really that idea. The person that does not believe on the Son will not see life. Can I read it this way? Can I quote it this way? The person who doesn't believe on the Son won't see heaven. But the wrath of God, eternal punishment, hell awaits that person. Tonight, if you are in your sins, you are in tremendous danger. If you were in your house and it was on fire, you would want me to say, wake up, your house is on fire. Tonight, we are only trying to warn that there is judgment coming. There is a real hell. I was 15 years old when that message gripped my heart. When I realized I am not saved, that I am in my sins, and I didn't want to go to hell. But I want to end off with the first words we read. He that believeth on the Son hath life. The person who believes on the Son has life. You might say, well, why did God even make hell in the first place? I was looking up a few different things. Hell was never created for you or for me. In fact, the Lord Jesus says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Because of Satan's rebellion against God, hell was actually created for Satan and his followers. And in fact, when God looks at a world and it, God actually looked at a world and he saw a world that was condemned and headed for judgment, God said, I am going to step in and make a way that they can escape. If I knew you were going to New Brunswick and all of a sudden I knew that the bridge had collapsed, do you think that I would try and stop you? Yes. Well, God is doing everything he can to try and warn you of what is in front of you, the danger that you are in. In fact, God is not only warning, God has provided a way that you can escape. God has provided a way that the whole world can escape hell. God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not many nights ago that I spoke in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. God in his love was so moved when he looked at a world of sinners. And he says, I don't want any of them to perish. I am going to do something. I am going to make a way that they can miss hell. And God gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He stepped out of heaven. He stepped into this earth. God knew what was going to happen. The Lord Jesus knew what was going to happen. The Lord Jesus one day was going to go to just a little place called Calvary. They were going to nail his hands and his feet to the cross. And the people that put him to death that day, they thought they were getting rid of him, but God's purpose was that he would bear the sin of the world and that whoever would just rest on him, there was a way that they could escape hell. You know, to the same crowd, the same people that the Lord Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. The very same thing was available to them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luckily, most of them rejected him. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? God is holding him out to you. I was holding my granddaughter this morning. This just comes to mind. And my sister, she says, I have something for you, Jade. And she took out just a little cloth flower. It was in a box. Jade saw it. Her eyes lit up. What do you think she did? She just reached out and she took it. And I told her, I said, Jade, say thank you. And after a minute, say, tell Arlene, thank you, I like it. She looked at Arlene and said, thank you, I like it. Tonight God is holding out to you not a flower. God is holding out to you his Son. He said, here is the only escape from hell. My Son, he has died for your sins. Listen to the words. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. Jade reached out and she took the flower, and you know what? She had it. Probably still has it. Tonight, if you were to take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would have eternal life. You wouldn't have to worry about hell because your destiny would be changed forever. He that believeth on the Son has life. But whoever doesn't believe the Son doesn't have the Son, doesn't have life. But God's wrath, no other choice. God's wrath will be your portion. Tonight, please, it's heaven or it's hell. And it all depends on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ.